whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
It is a game day. Sabres and Sens, and Marty and I are not on the same page. Stay with us over the next 54 minutes. Who knows where this one's going to go?
Well, like, because just before we came on the air, I mentioned something about Ryan Smith. And the one Ryan Smith that's in the news now is, well, in the news for good things, is the Utah Hockey Club owner, Ryan Smith. But when you say Ryan Smith, a lot of hockey people's first thought is Ryan Smith, Captain Canada, the Edmonton Oilers legend who cried when he was traded away like Wayne Gretzky. Like, come on, you know? So I wonder if there's ever going to be a time when there's a Brian Duff or a Martin Biron that is like, people are going to say, oh, how about that Brian Duff last night? And they're going to think of us, not the actual person in that moment, but us in like, oh, I thought you were talking about those guys from a few years back.
This is a can of worms or something to that effect that I probably shouldn't have opened. Tonight.
All good. All good. Good morning. Second, good morning.
Good afternoon to you, yeah, too.
See, I wanted to see you caught that. So we're back, baby. We're back.
You caught it. Do we know what day it is?
It is Thursday.
Okay.
January 9th.
I was worried. And how long does it take to open the roof in Miami?
13 minutes.
Wow. You're just full of answers.
I did some research today about that roof at Lone Depot Park where the Miami Marlins play. So, yes.
And soon to be the Florida Panthers playing there, with Tampa and Florida having outdoor games next year. Do you like the matchups, or should they not have just played Florida versus Tampa in both of them?
Oh, I didn't think about that. But
like, I would have done that. Like, it's the best rivalry right now in the regular
season. January 2nd, Tampa, Florida. At Lone Depot, and then February 1st, go to Tampa, play where the Buccaneers play, and have that match up there. Man, that would have been fantastic. But obviously, you got to get the New York Rangers and the Boston Bruins in there because you got the Chicago Blackhawks this year, and that's a three-game rotation that you're getting in every one of them.
You sounded
Do
really...
Do I sound that angry or like... pity or something? Like, I mean,
no, I was going to say, like, the most sincere I've ever heard you. That came across as legit. Anyway, we all know why New York, Boston, Chicago, teams of that ilk get in these games. It's meant to drive television ratings, of which there weren't particularly high ones for the last Winter Classic. So anyway, we will see how
it was
all
on
unfolds.
New Year's Eve, and it was two teams, St. Louis and Chicago, that they don't have the same buzz around the National Hockey League like they do in their region. Like, St. Louis fans, like, we were in St. Louis, and they were flying out Chicago, and they were happy about it. Mm-hmm. Yay, like, the Blues, it's going to be awesome. Okay, good. Chicago, I'm sure they were happy to have that game at Wrigley. What an experience. But on New Year's Eve, like, everybody's, you know, like, getting organized, doing dinner parties, whatever. Are you going to be paying attention if you're in Carolina or if you are in Minnesota or in Colorado of the Chicago Blackhawks and St. Louis Blues playing?
Totally different than New Year's Day, where you're home and recovering and or whatever you're doing to set the tone for a new year. It's a home day for most people. And you're right. New Year's Eve is
5 o'clock Eastern. We had an 8 o'clock game, and when I got in studio preparing for our game, after a while, I was like, oh, there's actually the Winter Classic going on right now. Like, it was a bit of an afterthought.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if tonight is a classic between the Sabres and the Sens. It is the second meeting of the year, and Buffalo won handily the first go-around, 5-1. Now, not to be lost in that, Luukkonen stopped 37 of 38, and I would imagine, unless I miss something, he's expected to go tonight.
I would say he's expected to go. I did not see confirmation yet. I think Lindy Ruff.
Producer Jeff's going to fill us in here.
When Lindy Ruff talked to the media earlier today, he did give some updates on a couple of things. One was Beck Malenstein, as he said yesterday, was not going to be on the trip. He did say there was another player that was dealing with an illness this morning. So it was an optional skate. So we weren't, you know, kind of able to count the players on the ice and say, oh, this guy is missing. So we will see tonight if there is a change or what happens with the latest to be caught by the illness bug that has been going around, not just the Sabres, but a lot of other teams around the National Hockey League.
Forsberg to go for Ottawa. This is a Senators team that has one win in the last six, but they're home for the first time in 10 games. Their scoring has dropped. Why does this often happen? Why does a team's scoring completely disappear when you lose your top goalie?
Well, two things. I remember last year I did this exercise with talking about the Vancouver Canucks and saying what is their goals for with Thatcher Demko in net and what is their goals for. It's not the goals against that was affected with Casey DeSmith or Arthur Shelov last year. It was their output, their goals for. Mm-hmm. Almost one goal less they were producing. Yep. I think they trusted Thatcher Demko to make a lot more of the harder saves, and then they would have that thinking of let's go on transition. Let's instead of spending 30, 40 seconds defending really, really hard because you're a little hesitant because your backup goal is in net.
It's a weird phenomenon, regardless. Like it's perfectly understandable the way you describe it, but at the same time, they shouldn't go hand in hand as often as they do. And so Ottawa is, hoping that Forsberg has another good game like he did against Detroit, where they earned a point losing in overtime. But they have to figure it out offensively. And Buffalo is where right now, in your opinion, offensively? Again, based on the easy part is to just say the last seven games, even though that includes another three-game losing streak in there. But they're 4-2-1 in the last seven. And honestly, given what sports is, I realize regular seasons are different than playoffs, but if you look at sports in seven-game samples, I mean, if you're winning 4+ out of every seven, you got to take that, right?
Well, you kind of have to, and yes, you mentioned a 4-2-1 in the last seven, and now you look at what they have from now until the end of the month, or I kind of look at from now until the Four Nations break, right? Because that's when the break happens. Mm-hmm. So you have 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13 games for now until the Four Nations break. You go 9-3-1 or you go 8-3-2, you're putting yourself in a better position. Well, what's 8-3-2? That's almost what the 4-2-1 they just did, like last seven, right? Like it's very close. It's very similar. That's where the Sabres have to look. And I mean, yes, if they went 11-2, that'd be great in the 13 games. They went 12-1, that'd be awesome. Okay, you're climbing up. But for me, even 8-3-2, which is technically 8-5, would be good enough to say, hey, maybe you've made a point two or three over some teams before the Four Nations face-off.
41 games remaining. Are you already finding yourself with a target in mind that they have to hit?
I think the race to 90 is what I'm looking at right now.
Okay. So they need 55 points out of the final 41 games.
They need 55 points. So it's
27-13-1.
27-13-1. Yes, that's what it is. Thank you for, they said there was going to be no math, but yes. I was trying to add up to 40 first and then say there's an extra game right there for good measure. But yes, 27-13-1. That's what, and 27-13-1 is like 4-2-1. That's the.
Is it? I think it's. Is it?
Well, yeah, because if you double 13, it's 26. So it's kind of like, a game here and there, but it's the two wins for every loss is basically we win 2 out of 3. Down the stretch, that gets you to 90 points.
Right.
It's not impossible. It's not.
No, it's not.
The best teams in the league right now, you look at the best teams in the league. So you need a 670 point percentage, right? Or a 650 point percentage. Well, who has a 650 point percentage in the league right now?
Vegas, Winnipeg, Washington, Toronto,
Vegas, Minnesota, Dallas. When the Edmonton Oilers, the LA Kings, like there's a lot of teams. There's 8 teams that have a 650 or more right now. You know, 17.
Well, yeah, sorry. Dallas just won 5 in a row. They were not close to that prior. So
yeah, but you, you get 7 or 8 teams that are at 650. It's a third of the league. It's there's a possibility to say, yeah, we can get to, you know, that 27-13-1 by getting together and playing, you know, a mature. Or what was Alex Tuck when he said we played an experienced game? Or he called it, he didn't call it a mature game, but I think he said we played a responsible game. That's what he said. We played a responsible game against the Washington Capitals. Play a responsible game. Like, that shouldn't even be, like, a word that you use. Every game should be a responsible game. How about that's the norm? That's the norm. Like, at the end of the year, you shouldn't say, oh, we played a responsible game. That should be, we played our game. We played our game. That should be the standard.
Well, within the numbers that they own through the first 41 games, what gives you the most, like, what category gives you the most hope that they can spring into some version, form, close to a projection that they would need over the final 41? Like, what is it? Because this is kind of the ongoing thing, not a Buffalo thing.
Yeah.
It's what is your identity, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, what is that thing through 41 games that they now might feel most comfortable in that they can say, this is us? And to your point about whether it's Tuck believing it's being responsible every game, which is hard to quantify statistically. But, like, what do you think when I present it to you that way?
What I think is the numbers I pulled out last game is that Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, in his 12 wins, only 2 came with him giving up 3 goals or more. And they were both 4-3 and 5-3 in an empty net win. One in a shootout, one, you know, against Detroit. So my thinking is your identity to win is you got to go either 2 ways. Either you're finding a way to win games where you give up 3 or 4, but you're still winning, which I don't see it right now. I don't see that being the identity that Lindy Ruff wants his team to have. I see the identity of saying, you're winning 3-2. You're winning 4-2 in an empty net. You're winning 3-1 in an empty net. That's the identity that I think the Sabres have to continue to develop. Tuck talks about a responsible game. It's not being responsible offensively. Like, nobody says, oh, we were responsible in the way that we attacked. It's we were responsible in our puck management, in the way we defended, in the way we were.
Should that be a different way of thinking, though? Are you onto something here? Like, is there a more responsible way to play offensively where you garner more zone time because of how you attack the game and follow up on rebounds and make sure that you're always as much as humanly possible
outmanning
situations and getting that puck back?
Okay, Dominic Hasek's famous word, hi guy. Like, that's how you're responsible offensively. You're on the defensive side of the puck. You don't get caught 3 guys below the goal line. You don't have a deep pinching without anybody backing them up. And you know what? If you do that, number one, you don't give up on man rushes. You may be able to create turnover in the neutral zone. And 2, you might be spending more time in the offensive zone just hanging on to pucks, cycling, getting plays. Sabres are not spending a lot of time in the offensive zone. Last game was a surprise. They were spending more time than Washington in the offensive zone. But the game before that at Vegas, man, it was 2-1 Vegas in the offensive zone, right? It was like, whoa, like the Sabres cannot like give up like 14 minutes of possession time in the offensive zone to their 7. Like, it just doesn't work that way.
However, it kind of falls in line with what Vegas does against most teams. And over the last almost month, the Capitals would say, this is kind of the way we've been going too. Like, they've not been super enamored with their overall play. And last night, the game right after their loss to the Sabres was another example of that. They did not have a lot of shots. One of my favorite broadcasters, Joe Beninati, the Caps guy, said, this has not been aesthetically pleasing.
Yes.
And you know what? It's true, but the good teams through their uneven months find a way. And the Capitals did that last night because their best player, my opinion, from start to finish was Pierre-Luc Dubois. Yep. It was the tantalizing Dubois effect. What he's done his entire career in smaller samples than what people would want. He scored the first goal. He agitated. He was a pain in everyone's, you know what. And yeah. Then he ends up scoring the overtime goal. But there were moments where you're just like, oh, look at the skating. Look at the poise with the puck. Look, you know, and, you know, he's right on the cusp of being on pace for a career year right now with a team that is at the top of the conference. And he was a difference. Like his winning goal last night, I don't think for a second Lankanen would have ever guessed that he would have pulled off that fake right there. He was thinking shot, and all of a sudden it was like Dubois opened himself up for basically an empty net finish. It was beautiful. Yeah.
The only reason why Lankanen should have or may have thought, oh, he's going to go to his forehand is because Tyler Myers was coming in from the left side and was blocking that angle. So that was either a shot or either go to the blocker side of Lankanen, which that's what ends up doing. But yeah, Pierre-Luc Dubois was frustrating last night if you look at the Vancouver Canucks and the way that he went after Quinn Hughes in the first period. Actually, the Canucks got a four-minute power play, right? Because... but Quinn Hughes was in the penalty bench box, and because it was coincidental minors, that Pierre-Luc Dubois got, I think he got 6 minutes of penalty. Hughes got two, right?
I think sheet said four for Dubois, two other minor penalties for Washington, and two other minor penalties for Vancouver. So there were one, two, three, four, six minors on the play with Dubois.
Four for Washington, two for Vancouver. But so Quinn Hughes is, and this is again, Duffer, you know how I am with hockey IQ, understanding the game situation. Mm-hmm. So Quinn Hughes is in the box for 2 minutes. He can come out at the first whistle after the first 2 minutes has expired. His team is on the power play, and he did not come out of the penalty bench for the next 2 minutes. Because they did not make any whistles happen. Just send it back to your goalie. Have him cover it. Like, knock the net off. Send water bottles on the ice. Like, whatever you got to do. Dump a bucket of pucks on the ice so the whistle has to go. Like, you have your best player, Quinn Hughes. The guy has 17 power play assists, second in the NHL to Nikita Kucherov in power play assists. He's stuck on the penalty bench. Because you don't do everything to get a whistle? Like, come on. And after the game, they asked him, and he was like, I was yelling, screaming in the penalty bench, get a whistle.
That was my next question to you. Was he making noise while in the box? And for those who maybe haven't heard Marty express as passionately as he just did, how he wants and demands that kind of intelligence. Marty's way of thinking on this normally is, if you're in the offensive zone, just inadvertently put it over the glass. The puck stays
in the zone. Don't do it like Brad Marchand. Brad Marchand got a penalty earlier this year for doing it on purpose. Yeah. And then he's like, I'm not in the defensive zone. They're like, dude, you just threw the puck in the crowd on purpose. Right. It's obvious. That's a delay of game. But just... like, pretend you're taking a shot on net and put in the netting above the glass. Like, oops, I pulled out the pitching wedge. Oh, I thought it was a 6-iron. I pulled up the 9-iron. Like, you know, the number was upside down type situation. Like, come on. Like, with the Rangers 1 year, Torts was losing his mind. We got a 5-minute major. On a 5-minute major, you don't have to put anybody in the penalty box right away. The guy that has a 5 minute is in the locker room, and you can wait until a whistle to put somebody in there. Well, we didn't put anybody in there, and the full 5 minutes went, no whistle. And now you can't put another player because the player has to come out of the penalty box. He cannot jump on the ice from the bench. Yep. So now we're playing 5-on-4, like a shorthanded situation, for an extra minute and a half because we didn't have anybody in the box. And the guys on the ice got out there. They were like, we thought the penalty was over. Why was there only four guys out there? Where was the fifth guy? Like, guys, don't be stupid. We didn't have anybody out there. Get a whistle. We're yelling, Torchy's yelling, get a whistle. Do something. They blew it. They didn't even know that was happening.
Well, long ago on this program, I asked a question. What is Buffalo going to hang their hat on from the first half into the second half here? Might it be, now that you just went down a special teams path, can it be, again, a belief based on 8 power play goals the last 8 games that component can be a difference maker here for them? And at the very least, not a distraction, not a negative. You know what I mean?
Yes, I think it can. I think we're seeing some changes. The puck is moving faster, which is a good thing. I mentioned Jack Quinn's pass to Zucker on the back door. That was a hard, quick pass. Thompson's pass to Zucker for another power play goal. That was another quick, you react, right? You're like, okay, I'm going to pass it right away. Boom, it's there. The Tage Thompson one-timer that we saw against Washington, great. Like, the puck movement, though, on entry was absolutely crisp and quick. Peterka, Quinn, boom, to Dahlin. The forwards were caught down low for Washington on entry. That opened up for Tage Thompson. If everybody's in the right position for Washington, then there's somebody that's going to get in the way and potentially block either the pass or the shot by Tate. So that's great. Think of the 13-game winless streak. Mm-hmm. How many of those games were one-goal games, and how many of those would have been a different game if the power play had performed in that 13-game? Like, maybe, again, maybe they go, instead of 0-10-3, maybe they go 4-6-3. Right? And 4-6 and 3 would have been, or maybe 3-7-3, whatever. 6 points, 8 points more to the standings would make a big difference. And that was directly, for me, a reason that the power play did not, you know, produce. It just did not get you more points.
I can give you a active example of the record you wish they had amassed in that 13-game winless streak. Vancouver is 4-5-6 in their last 15 games. They have 4 wins in their last 15.
Only 3 in regulation.
They are still in wild card 2.
Because of the 6.
Because of the 6?
Well, because of the 4-2. They were able to win 4
games.
You know
what I mean?
Games,
like,
yes.
People, like, that's a lot.
You're 4-10.
Like, even in the last 6 games, they're 1-2-3.
Yeah. You're 4-11, actually. You're 4-11 in 15 games, but you're 4-5-6, which is only one game below NHL 500. The Vancouver Canucks, by the way, lost their 10th game past regulation yesterday, which is the most.
But that's why they're in it. That's why they're alive and well, and, you know, amidst all of the chaos that is surrounding them. And
1-0 Minnesota was a game that if you get a point there, right? Like, that's the difference. If the power play scores a goal, you get a point. Boom, maybe you win it in OT. Maybe you get 2 points. The Colorado game, we know. The Detroit game. Like, those are all games that if the power play comes through, you get more points. And right now, you're 7 points out. Well, if you had gotten 3 wins out of that 13 because of the power play, you'd be a point out instead of 7.
So right now the offense is sitting middle of the pack in the NHL. The goals against is still not where it needs to be, but obviously Lukanen, you know, can fix that. He's also been pretty good, save for the one game against Colorado, where the save percentage, you know, it was just a sloppy game in front of him where the 6-on-5s happened and ultimately the overtime winner for Colorado. But yeah, the power play is trending the right way. Penalty kill is still kind of, you know, room for improvement, right? Mm-hmm. But they're up against an Ottawa team. There's not much between them in the standings tonight. And it's Lukanen and Forsberg, your goaltending matchup. So a youngster by the name of Darren Dreger is going to join us after
youngster.
The break.
Youngster, yes. I like it.
Yes, so he's going to provide a little more on what's going around the league. So what would be the last focal point for you on the matchup tonight, based on, again, not only where Buffalo's at, but the reality for Ottawa? Still no Ullmark and no real update on Ullmark. That's the thing.
No.
Like, it's week to week with this back injury. But as I mentioned off the top, it's as much about everything else in Ottawa's game right now and the void of offense that has all of a sudden appeared.
Yeah, no, it's... It's not good for the Ottawa Senators when you look at Linus Ullmark. Like, Shesterkin is back tonight with the Rangers. Sam Ersson is coming back with the Flyers. So you got good news when it comes to goaltenders around the NHL, but for the Ottawa Senators, it is not. So what do I look at? I mean, I said it yesterday, I'll say it again today. I'm not a believer in Anton Forsberg. He played well in the last game against Detroit. It wasn't his doing that ended up losing the game in overtime on the Patrick Kane goal. But Forsberg was fine, but you can get to him. You can get to that defense. I always like Thomas Chabot, but it's more about the offense with Thomas Chabot, and he's been providing some offense. I like Sanderson and Zub, but I think there is about a group of three defensemen there. I think Jensen, I think depending on who plays on the third pair, like, you can get to them. And that's what the Sabres have to do. They have to take the puck away from Norris and Pinto and Tkachuk and Stützle and Giroux. And they have to just put the emphasis on the defense and the goaltending of Ottawa and get after it.
And, of course, the Sabres are right back home on Saturday, and we want to alert you to the experience, the opportunity to experience Sabres hockey from closer than ever before. You can now enter to win 4 tickets to an upcoming game and a chance to watch pregame warmups from the penalty box. Just visit sabres.com/pregame to enter today. Darren Dreger, our hockey insider from TSN, is next here on Sabres Live.